Welcome to the Energetic Radio Podcast. My name is Dale Sowerbottom. Each week, I'll bring you inspirational guests who will help you bring fun, energy, and purpose into your lives. Let the show begin.
Welcome to episode number 327 of the podcast. And today, the author of Move. Now, if you haven't read Move, it's just such a fantastic book. It's got so much research and science behind it. And that's what Caroline Williams is all about, the science and the research. She is an academic, but the way she has written Move about all different ways that we have to move our body. And we always say this, movement is medicine. But one thing I find with a lot of academics is sometimes it's really hard to diffuse what they're saying or understand everything. And Caroline, she definitely makes it easy for the general punters, the population, to understand what they need to do and, more importantly, how they can do it to really improve their well-being through movement. So enjoy this episode. It's episode number 327.
It's pretty solid that increasing physical strength decreases anxiety, increases self-esteem and confidence, and just makes you feel more capable of life. And interestingly, the changes happen before you see any physical change in the muscles. So you don't have to be, you know, going to the gym three times a day and pumping iron and getting big muscles to get this effect. It's like it's an inside job. When your body notices that you're getting physically stronger, it's almost like it allows your mind to take a back seat. So you don't have to worry so much because you've got this, it's fine. And that really surprised me, the strength of that link, and that nobody really knows that. You know, we talk about mental health with cardio and, you know, fitness and all that kind of thing. But these studies were done, you know, regardless of whether people had done cardio or not, just strength training or increasing your strength alone will improve the way you feel about yourself and your place in the world. So to me, that's really, really important, especially when we have kids that are, you know, the data suggests that kids aren't as physically strong as they were 10 years ago, especially women in the workplace who, you know, we know are less likely to speak up and ask for pay rises and, you know, speak up in meetings. And just this, having this internal feeling of confidence, I think is something that a lot of people could benefit from. And you don't have to pump iron. You can do body weight stuff. You know, just being stronger and having a body that's capable helps your mind feel capable too.
It's so true. And I'm sitting here nodding along. And as you said, that's 40 years ago that's being out there. People will read your book and they'll read the studies and they'll read studies like that from 40 years ago that hasn't changed. The benefits are there. Why are people still hesitant? Like, is it because you have to put the work in? Nobody's going to do it for you. What are the limitations, or why are people not all doing this?
I think because it's been sold for so long as a thing you do to look good. And, you know, most of the things that people are aiming for physically are completely, you know, impossible to achieve. So why would you even bother? You see someone with amazing toned arms and abs and you think, well, good for them. They probably do that all day, every day. They don't have to work for a living. But so it sort of puts you off from even starting, right? And it's expensive. But I think the beauty of knowing that you don't have to join a gym, you don't even have to change your clothes, just, you know, prioritizing your own physical strength, lifting more stuff and carrying stuff. And it really does spill over. So, you know, just for example, if I'm putting the bike rack on the car and someone says, oh, you know, because I'm 4'11", I'm kind of small. People say, oh, do you need a hand with that? And I'm like, nope. And I know that I've got the strength to do it. I'm like, thanks, but no, I'm fine. And just making the effort to try stuff and get yourself strong enough to do things in your own life has this amazing sort of empowering effect. And so to me, anyway, doing it to feel better about yourself and your life and to feel more capable is a better sell and an easier sell than, look, you'll get these amazingly toned arms and abs. So I think we've kind of put the goal in the wrong place. It's not to look good, it's to feel good.
Yeah,
I think that needs to shift. I don't know how to make that happen, but I'm banging my drum over here and hoping someone's listening.
Yeah, well, I'm listening, and I agree. And I think it really comes back down to that comparison. Do you know what I mean? And as good as social media is for so many different things, a lot of it is comparing, and we compare. And we're like, I'm not that good. I'm not that good. And straight away, before we've actually done anything, we've already shut ourselves down. So one of the biggest tips you've just given us there is that it's not about how you look. It's the impact it has on all of your life, all areas of it. What other practical sort of outcomes or tips would you give to people that maybe hesitant or maybe stuck in the rut and they want to find the joy in movement again?
So I think, doing little and often, there are some simple things. So, in terms of how I've changed, I've always been quite active anyway, but in terms of how I have changed the way I sort of move in my everyday life since writing this book, I spend a lot more time sitting on the floor when I'm working, because then every time you get up, which is often because I'm a fidget, you're basically leg pressing your entire body weight. So that, has benefits for, strength, and balance, and all, just agility, mobility in general. But just trying to do little, it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be little and often. It can be like, oh, I've got to clean up the kitchen again. I'll whack on some music and dance around while I do it. It doesn't have to be a formal thing that you go out and pay money to do. Just kind of finding ways to get it in your life. So there's studies on people who live in the blue zones around the world, which are areas where people are far more likely to live to 100 than anywhere else in the world. And scientists have been studying these people and what they do, and and it comes down to their lifestyle, essentially, potentially a bit of genetics, but mostly lifestyle. And one of the things that they find about these people is that they don't do anything that you would call exercise, but they go out for walks, and they do gardening, and they sit on the floor and jump up all the time. And so movement is just more of a part of their day, without really trying. And so I think that's something that you can just shift the mindset a little bit and try and get movement into your day in small ways, little and often, and it actually adds up. There's a group of people, the MoveNat people, and they have this thing they call movement snacks, where you just take a minute or two and you get up, and they do things like hanging from the door and crawling around for a bit. It doesn't have to be that, but just getting up and doing any form of movement, little and often, like snacks that you have when you're stuffing your face with crisps, they do add up without you really noticing. And they but movement snacks in a good way.
Yeah, I like that, and I think it goes the other way. I obviously used to be a teacher, and now I work for myself, so I sit down a lot more than what I used to. And I think one of the most alarming things that I heard was that, I'll get up in the morning, Carolyn, and I'll do a gym session. And I used to think, because I've done that, it counteracts and I'm able to sit down. And my big kick in the bum from the book was, no, you need to be moving all the time. And just because you spend 45 minutes or an hour in the morning doesn't give you the right to sit on your ass all day, Dale. I know that, but your mind it plays games on you. It's like a rewarding because I've done all this, but it's like you just said, it's constantly moving, isn't it?
Yeah, as much as possible. But sometimes it's hard. My job is editing, writing, sitting and reading. So, it's hard sometimes to do that. But yeah, in terms of sort of the sedentary versus exercise. So when you look at the studies that track brain health and sort of cognitive decline, over long periods of time, the faster decline is linked to the amount of time you spend sedentary. And that's regardless of whether you've done some exercise. You also do some exercise. So it's not necessarily about saying, well, okay, you've done your gym session in the morning, great, do one at lunchtime as well. It's not about that. It's about getting more movement into the day, little and often, as you go, which is, to me, again, a bit of an easier sell, because by the time you've done one gym session, who wants to go and do another one? I love it.
I definitely don't want to do that. But I think sometimes when you read things, it really resonates with you. And I obviously talk about this a lot when I'm doing speaking and things now, but how important it is to find ways to not be sitting all day. And as you just said, there are so many jobs now that are behind a computer, which you struggle to walk around with. I get that. But that's where you got to get creative realistically and come up with ways, isn't it? Because nobody is going to move your body for you or get all the benefits that we've spoken about. You need to do it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I had a sort of a magic wand for the motivational aspect, then that would be great, because there are days when you just think, oh, do you know what? I could today I'm just going to sit. And I guess, you know, everything in moderation. And if your body is telling you it needs to rest, then, you know, rest is very important as well. There's a whole chapter in the book about rest, which is funny because no one ever asked me about that chapter. It's like, oh, move. No one ever says, what about this resting business? But it's just as important because, you know, if you're tuned into what your body needs, then you know when you need to move and you know when you need to rest. And it's important to listen to the rest signals as well. Sometimes you can sit on your ass.
I think it's important to, if people are at that stage where they need to rest, it's probably a good thing in that aspect because at least they're moving their body. I think that's probably the positive that goes with that. That's how I'd look at it.